the obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, nice win by the Mets. Right, so the thing that's confounded me this year about the Mets is, and I say confound because there's really nothing that I can say that quantifies what I'm about to say. I can talk about stats, and Manaea hasn't been that good, and Senga's done this, and this guy's done that. All the things that we know can be backed up by numbers. I've said many times this year that the Mets feel different in terms of connectivity, right? I don't want to say so much chemistry, because that almost implies that it's a bad thing. And I've never said that. You know, you say, well, the Mets' chemistry is not quite what it was a year ago. Automatically, what happens? The antennas go up. Not talking about Soto. I'm really not, actually. I'm not. Soto's fit in. Soto's obviously done some great things. Some things a little less than what we thought. But Soto's, for the most part, carrying the mail, doing his job. But the Mets this year just looked a little off. And I think that most Mets fans would agree with that. And, you know, last year, you know, some of the wacky stuff like Grimace and Hoctua, whatever. But, like, the Iglesias stuff was real. You know, he was a real contributor, a real glue guy, and the Mets elected not to bring him back. He hasn't had a good season for San Diego, so probably validated what the Mets did. But the thing to me that changes possibly, the ceiling for the Mets this year is Vientos. See, Vientos is one of those guys who, and this damn fly is back. Listen, Huff, he's back, and he's buzzing around, and it's like, you know, I'm here an hour before I'll get to Vientos. Now it's right in front of my face. Now he's just toying with me. He's teasing me here. I've been in here for an hour. I didn't even know he was here until Huff came in to do the pre-show meeting. He's like, oh, the fly is still here. It's like this guy or this gal, I don't know if it's a female or a male fly. Is there gender with flies? I don't even know. But it's like he waits for me to start the show, and then he starts buzzing. Good timing. So when Vientos plays well, the Mets look different. And it's undeniable. It really is. Like, for the most part, Soto is stoic and robotic. And that's part of his brilliance. Goes about his job. Doesn't show a ton of emotion. You know, he's got that, certainly that quiet swag and that swag in the box and that flair, but he's kind of to himself, you know, pizza grinder, but kind of to himself. McNeil will get a little fiery, but, you know, kind of to himself. Marte, fairly to himself. You know, Lindor's got a little juice, but there's a different energy when Vientos is playing well. And last year, think about this, guys. The Phillies won, what, 95 games? They won the division. The Mets won 89 games, and they obviously did not win the division, but they knocked the Phillies around 3-1 in the NLDS. And who was in the middle of all that? That was Mark Vientos, hitting 520-something with a couple of home runs and 5 or 6 RBIs in the 4 games. Like, it's not even that he needs to be a star, although he has been on an absolute rampage. Like, Mark Vientos is flat-out raking again, which is good to see, because I really thought he was the real deal. And I never abandoned him, I don't think you did either. I think true Mets fans were very perplexed at what the hell was happening with Mark Vientos. Like, it's one thing to get off to a slow start. It's another thing to be here, you know, up until he got hot, which was about early August-ish, late July-ish, to basically have 4.5 months of being a complete zero on the baseball field. It wasn't even regression. It was going from being so influential to invisible. And that's kind of rare. You don't see that too much. But you saw it this year with Vientos. And when he's hitting, and he's, you know, not that he's fast, but, you know, when he's running around the bases, diving headfirst into home, diving headfirst into second, getting up, helmet off, banging his fist in the air, his team feeds off of that. So while the win against the Phillies was good, and yeah, if you guys want to, you know, get wrapped back up in the division stuff, I don't think the Mets will win the division. I've said that for a while. But in a lot of ways, it doesn't really matter because of what happened last year that I just referenced. Phillies were better, and the Mets beat them in the playoffs. But for the Mets to turn the corner All right. And again, we could talk about a lot of things here. We could talk about Manaea, and you'd love to see something from Manaea tonight. Like, yeah, one of these two guys is going to have to join the party. Like, it can't always be three innings, 90s, you know, four innings, 90-something pitches, or Manaea flies through the first three and then stumbles, and you got to go to the bullpen. Like, somebody at the top of the rotation outside of Peterson is going, and I don't mean McClain, who's new, and I don't even mean Holmes, who threw seven the other day. Like, these guys at the top, who are supposed to be at the top, need to pitch better. We know that. But I think it's one of the easiest things to identify in New York baseball. It's like when Judge hits, the Yankees look different. To me, when Vientos hits, there's a surge of energy that goes through this Mets dugout that obviously impacts the box score. And I see you guys feeding off that in the stands. So the fact that Vientos is alive and well, to me, represents maybe, aside from McClain, because that is a massive revelation, I think the single greatest possibility for the Mets to really do something this season. Something that I haven't really felt most of this year. And it feels like, you know, they could... It feels like they could turn a corner if this guy's really real again. 888-808-1019, BT and Sound on the Fan inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Our friends at Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. You know what I'm saying. You know it because you feel it. I mean, I'm watching it last night, and I've been watching him play every game now, you know, and he's just been he's been red hot. And I think somebody like Vientos, you know, some of you buried him. Some of you wanted to move on. Let's not get it fully twisted here. Many of you were dug in and you supported him. A lot of you said trade him. You know, trade him for this guy. Trade him for a starter. Trade him for that guy. You happy they didn't trade him? See, and that's part of the evaluation. Let me just branch into this for a second. So, like, there's the baseball stuff and there's the moves the Mets made and there's the moves that teams make. But then there's also the moves that you don't make that we kind of gloss over and don't really factor into the grand calculation of what a team is. And the fact that Stearns didn't flinch and didn't trade Vientos, that's got to be a massive check in the proper column for Stearns, who's taken some heat this year, and rightfully so. But you got to love what you're seeing from Vientos right now. You really do. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Like I've talked about this, and you know this because you watch these games. Like, when you play a baseball season, that's one of the reasons, we'll get to the Yanks later, but that's one of the things that's bothered me about the Yankees for a long time, aside from player development, is that they've become too corporate. You know, they've become a little bit stale. Now, they've got more energy this year. They do, with Jazz and some other players. But over the years, they morphed into this grinding, electric, tough, talented team to a team that looked like they were just, you know, punching in and punching out. And guys like Vientos, over the course of 6 months of baseball, where it's a drag. I mean, you're getting in 3-4 in the morning. You're playing every day. It's monotonous. And if you're not having any sort of fun, it could be a real grind. And if you're not an elite team, which the Mets are not, well, that is going to manifest itself negatively. I'm telling you, older players, they see Vientos doing that, and they get jacked up. They feel it. So it's a really, 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 really good sign. Go win by the Mets. Not going nuts. Still don't think they win the division. But again, does it really matter when you get to October? Doesn't. It's been proven. 888-808-1019. We get Charlie and Bethpage first up on the Fan. Charlie.
Hey, BT, how are you, buddy?
What's
everything
up, dude?
Good? Well, listen, I'm just going to tell you, believe it or not, I was at the Yankee game last night. And it was a lot of fun seeing the new stadium. I haven't been to the new stadium, but I had my pods listening at my Met game. I didn't know what two teams I was watching last night and hearing last night in my ears. Those are the teams that we should have here in New York. But when Vientos hits, the team follows. McNeil, when the bottom of the lineup starts hitting, that's what we needed, because we can't rely on the top four. We know what they can do. It's the bottom of the lineup. and everybody feeds off it now. But we need to get on a good run because I'm still pissed off on Sunday not sweeping like Washington. We should have walked away with a sweep. Losing that game after a 2-0 lead, it was just terrible.
No, the brutal loss. But you guys won 2 out of 3. Be fair, but I got you. That was a tough loss, no doubt. I thought Mendy was spotty.
Here's the problem. I'm at Yankee Stadium last night with my buddy, and you guys, same thing with you. I told him, you can't win the series. Washington, you got to sweep the series.
Yeah.
You want to be you got to bury these teams on the bottom. They're garbage.
Yeah.
And you know what? They got to put their throat down on them. And
Charlie. Forget about the Yanks for a second. Here's my question. So, now, these are your words. You're a Mets fan. You were listening to the Mets game, I guess, listening, watching on whatever device, phone, I'm sure. Why were you at Yankee Stadium when the Mets were playing the Phillies?
Yeah, well, you know what? Because my friend has tickets down to the Legends, and I wanted to go to Yankee Stadium. Okay? How do I say no to the Legends, bro?
I got you. Hey, Charles, I'm just asking. I mean, that's an acceptable answer. I'm not mad at you. All right, I'd probably do the same thing. Legends is that's a different planet. Good job. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal. How about that dope bomb complaining about whatever the hell the boom mics? I mean, that was ridiculous, what was going on. I'll obviously expand on that in a bit, but, I mean, what a petty grievance that is. Like, that was a 19-minute delay. Poor Ronnie in the booth, they're like, hey, listen, I don't know, Turner put them, because the game, I guess, is on Turner TNT tonight. They're like, Ronnie, this is your thing. This network TV is your problem. He's like, I didn't do anything. No, it was the Mets, and it was Alec Baum. I don't understand. Listen, even like when you were watching golf, like this annoys me. God forbid somebody breathes too loudly or sneezes or coughs. You know, you've got that crazy.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Cat, excuse me, sir. Silence, shh. Please, a little respect here. Like, dude, just do your job. Immerse yourself in your routine and swing the golf club. And those mics have been there since, what, 2017? They're not bomb. Get lost. Let me get Ronnie in Manhattan, BT and Sal on the Fan. Ronnie, what's going on?
BT, good morning. How you doing?
Good, Ronnie. What's up, man?
Good, nothing. I just got to touch on Vientos, and then I got a question about your days at Marist College. I went to Siena, so I'll get to that in a second.
All right.
But with Vientos, I couldn't agree more. I'm 35 years old, and when I was 16, I was watching the 06 Mets, and Jose Reyes just had that spark plug. And Vientos just reminds me of that, you know, with the helmet coming off and the sliding, like you said. It just seems, you know, for a while, I think us Mets fans were like, you know, when Lindor's hitting, the team's on. But you're right. When Vientos is going, it's just, we feel unstoppable, and I feel like we can come back from whatever. You know, I don't think we can recreate the OMG magic from last year, but there's just something special about him.
Well, there was something special about him, which is why this was such a weird year, because, yeah, when you do what he did in the playoffs there, and that's what I always leaned on. Yeah, listen, there's been a lot of players. Kevin Moss, we referenced, we laugh about that. There's been players in New York that have had good starts to their career, and then they fizzle out when the league figures them out. But you get into the postseason against elite pitching like he did, and you got a slow heartbeat, you're a stud. Now, I don't know what the hell happened at the start of the year, but there's nobody who's going to tell me Mark Vientos can't hit. He's just got to get his head right. Yeah. And I know that Gelbs did the story on how he changed his approach, and I want to get into that later as well. But he's swinging it now, and you know he's got a juice and he's got a swag that very few Mets have. The fans feel it, and the team feels it. So if he's back, then the Mets, a lot changes for the Mets.
Yeah, I agree. I had a feeling coming into this season that might get in his head a little bit. The expectations coming out of October were just astronomical, but it seems like he's picking it up. Real quick, on your days at Marist, if you don't mind me asking, what year did you graduate there?
96.
96, yeah, okay, because I used to go to basketball and baseball camp there in like 98, 99, and 2000.
Oh, wow.
During like the Dave McGarity days.
Yeah.
And then I forget who was the head coach of baseball, but.
That was John Cheff.
I was wondering if you'd ever, because one of my head coaches down in baseball was Rocco Baldelli's cousin.
Okay.
And I was just wondering if you had ever met him on campus, but.
No. You said you went to Siena, right?
Yeah, I went to Siena. I graduated in 2012, so luckily my freshman year I caught that run against Ohio State. That was awesome.
Oh, nice. There you go. Outside of Siena's a great school. A good school. Yeah, McGarity's great. I mean, dropping a lot of names that nobody cares about. We do. Now, you know I love Marist. Siena's a good school as well, so good stuff. Let me get Alex in Midland, Texas. What's up, Al? How you feeling today?
Hey, BT, I remember listening to you on your national show several years ago, but a long-time listener, first-time caller to this show.
Nice.
And I just wanted to piggyback off of what you were talking about yesterday. Yes, both teams won last night, but as a Mets fan, I feel better than Yankees fans do just because of who the Mets beat last night. And yes, I think Vientos is a huge part of that.
Yankees, last night's Yankee win, just to get that out of the way, means nothing. I told you yesterday they're going to hit, my over-under was 10.5 home runs in the three games. They'll win two out of three as long as they show up and don't oversleep. They should sweep them. They have three last night. But what you do take away is Schlittler, which I'll get to later as well. No, the Mets game, that's why I'm starting with the Mets. Yesterday was a Yankee day because the Red Sox punked them again. And you get Mets-Phillies versus Yankees-Nats, there's no doubt. It's Mets-Phillies all day. It's a massive win.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And we'll see what happens tonight.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you making the call from Texas on the Free Odyssey app. Thank you very much. Let me get Sean up in Marlboro. BT and Sound on the Fan. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, guys. Just real quick last night. I'm just wondering, did the Mets have their grimace moment last night when Boehm picked out that microphone and said it affected his hitting? I really feel like that just changed the game around. So was Grimace in that microphone, and is this it in 2025? I think we're going to turn the season around today.
Well, you might. All right, Sean, hold on. Sean, hold on. You might. You might. I'm not saying that you won't. Matter of fact, there's a good chance that you could. What I would say is, why with the Mets is there's always got to be a moment, like a little something, like let's get the purple seat, let's have Iglesias doing a concert. How about the fact that the Mets got a $330 million payroll, they got a couple of All-Stars, and they almost won the World Series a year ago? How about that?
It's all about momentum, my friend. It's all about momentum.
Yeah.
You get the momentum going.
Yep.
You turned it around last night, and you know once a team gets momentum, you can't stop.
Uncle Mo.
That's what happened last year.
Yeah, it's a real thing. Thanks for the call there, Sean. Hey, listen, along those lines, the squirrel who was dancing, and by the way, the Jets or the Giants had signed that squirrel. They really should. But that squirrel that was on the field, actually twice, I saw him Sunday, and then I think he made it back for an inning last night. And it's got to be the same squirrel. But now I'll take the gimmicks. That's where I'm at with the Yankees. Like, for forever, I'm like, Yanks don't need gimmicks. Yankees show up, and they step on the field, and they've got the aura. They've got the pinstripes. They got some studs. They're going to win the championship. Give me squirrels. Whatever it takes, I don't care. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. Sal is off. He's back tomorrow. All right, so the Vientos effect, it feels like it's going to be lasting. Like, that's what makes you feel good about this. It's not like he's a young kid that was up in Syracuse and is just getting a look now and had a couple of good games and the league's going to figure him out. Like, there's at least enough evidence from Vientos last year in a highly pressurized, you know, month of baseball where he was an absolute star. So I believe this is real. I always thought Vientos could hit. What bothered me about Vientos this year is that he looked too entitled. And I've talked about this. I don't understand how you can hit, you know, four or five home runs in October and have such a meaningful role and then come to spring training and start the season and you're jogging down the first base line. You know, you're not hustling out of the box. You're in space at third base. Like, he didn't look ready to play. I don't know how else to say it. So maybe he had to get humbled. I know that they talked about his change of approach. That was a pretty good segment by Gelbs in the game last night. I'll talk about that as well. Whatever it is, when Vientos hits, the Mets are different. So that's the hope that you got to have moving forward the rest of the way. Good job by those Mets punching back from a 3-0 deficit. And then obviously smoking the Phils. That is a good tone setter. I still think the Phillies win the division. I don't know if I would put that in ink. Because, you know, you win a couple of more and that you trim deeper into that deficit, things can change in a heartbeat. I don't think it really matters, as we've said many times. Baseball's, it's just different, you know, it's just very different. You almost have to really, this is more of an off-season thing, but really look at how you address the team. And, you know, it's almost not, on some level, it's not worth going all in so you've got that roster ready on opening day. the more prudent play is to have a good roster, you know, make sure you're in a position to be a playoff team, and then add those one or two big pieces, a big arm or a big bat, and, you know, as you have some more intel on the season. But, you know, we are here with 30 games to go. 30 games to go. Great rivalry. You know, Senga, he's just not giving you any evidence that now he could have been worse. He did battle through it, but I don't know how you trust him, and I don't know how you trust Manaea. I mean, one of those two guys has to join the party. Not both. And I said this yesterday. If one of them can just kind of get back to where they were, I think it changes a lot for the Mets because, as we know, once you get to October, I mean, really, you know, you're not going to see static too much in October unless the Mets are up 3-4-5 or down 3-4-5. You're just not. You know what arms you're going to see. You're going to see the high leverage quality arms. And if you get good starting pitching and you get a chance to truncate the game and turn it into that kind of a game, well, then things could change a lot for the Mets. I believe that. 888-808-1019 is the number. Joe's in Liberty, New York. BT and Sal on the Fan. What up, Joe?
What's up, BT? How are you, bud?
I'm good, Joe. How you doing today?
Living the dream.
Good.
Listen,
dude.
I think I might have found out why. Well, I don't know if I did, but hear me out.
Yeah.
Storm and I are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
He is ripping first, second, third inning, 8 strikeouts, 7 strikeouts. Looks great.
Mm-hmm.
He almost looks like a closer, right?
I don't see that, but continue your thought. No, I don't think
so. Well, let me explain why. He's throwing two pitches, as Edwin Diaz does. He's 61% four-seam this year, 33% sweeper. That's his percentages.
Yep.
16-degree arm angle, he's throwing 1% sinker, 5% change.
I mean, Joe, I even love Joe. Joe, and I like this stuff, Joe, but a 1% arm angle, Joe. Come on, Joe.
Bob, let me explain what he did last year. Mainly the pitch selection, 61% four seam, 33% sweeper. He's throwing two pitches. That's why in the fourth inning he's getting rocked.
Yep.
Last year it was 31% four seam, 24% sinker, 18% sweeper, 11% changeup. Mm-hmm. He had more of a mix. They're sitting on his fastball or his sweeper. He's sitting on a sweeper, he's leaving it in the middle of the plate. They're hitting it. That's why he's great first, second, third, and then the second time, third time through the batting order, they're ripping him up.
Yeah.
You need to change that, in my opinion.
Okay, well, you better change it soon. I mean, last year, I'll throw numbers at you. I mean, you better change it now. Last year, he threw a slider 44.7% of the time. And this, like, you're right, 1% this year. I mean, I don't know why the massive change. Honestly, maybe it's the loose bodies in his elbow that just don't allow him to get certain snap and certain torque. I mean, that's the most plausible explanation. You don't just abandon a good pitch for the hell of it. Eh. I'm going to mess around. Last year, those 18 starts when I changed my delivery, too easy. I've got to challenge myself, folks. So I'm going to ditch a pitch that's been very good, and I'm going to try to get everybody out. Major league hitters with two pitches. Now, listen, what you were saying is on point, and I love that stuff. You just get a little, when you start talking about angles, even lose me for a little bit. Sal would have been snoozing halfway through that call. But I get it. It makes a lot of sense. It makes baseball sense. I'm with you. Now, the other thing, too, about Manaea, and this is the thing that worries me a little bit. Like, let's just assume he's healthy, because without that assumption, then anything I say is fairly meaningless. So I've got to take that leap of faith. He's out there. He's healthy. His velo's not down that much. Like, so he's healthy, all right? But some of you...
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk about Sean Manaea, you know, like he was like the Mets version of Ron Guidry. You know, I mean, I could come up with El Cid, but I'm looking for a body type, and just El Cid and Manaea. Then again, Manaea is a lot bigger than Guidry. That's not even a good one. Point is, I was looking for a New York lefty, and Guidry came to mind. Manaea, you know, he's okay. He had a couple of good years, but, you know, in 2023, he was not good. Big ERA. And there's just, like, I think there's got to be a bit of a recalibration what you think he is. Now, again, those 18 starts, when he changed literally who he was based on how he threw the baseball, arm angles, delivery, et cetera, slots. Well, okay, there's an element of deception that was involved in that. And you could deceive even the best hitters in the world for a little bit, but guess what? Those 18 starts are now on film. And guys go to school during the offseason. And it's less deception. And now it's pure stuff. and ball placement and repertoire, and he's abandoned a pitch. Last caller was right. So, listen, I think he's okay. I think Manaea's going to be functional. I don't think he goes on a roll where it's 7, 8, 9 out of 11 starts where we're like, wow. Well, he's not even going to get that many with 30 games. I don't think he's going to rip off 4 out of 5 starts where he looks like a Cy Young pitcher like he did a year ago for half of his starts. I don't think that – I'm not saying he won't get one of those. I don't think you get that with consistency. And if you don't, which I don't anticipate, and I'm not counting on Senga waking up anytime soon, dancing around the strike zone, just throw a strike. You challenge somebody. I look up. I had to take my son to football practice yesterday, and I'm recording the games at home, but I'm following on the phone. I look up. It's the second inning. He's got 42 pitches in the second inning. And the crazy thing is, I wasn't surprised. I'm like, yep, that's pretty much Senga at this point. But if that's going to be the case with those two guys, that's what makes Vientos even more important. That's how I started the show. When Vientos bangs and he hits, there's a different energy, a different vibe, a different feel in the dugout, in the stands. He changes a lot. And he also masks some deficiencies. Not last night. Lower third was good. Torrens was really good. Taylor was good. But he masks deficiencies. So I think he is massive going down the stretch. Anthony's up at the Bronx. BT and Sound on the Fan. What up, Ant?
Hey, listen, do you have a case of amnesia?
No.
No, you sure?
I'm pretty sure. And if I do, I may have forgotten that I had it.
Oh, well, I mean, well, that would make sense. Because 3 weeks ago, you said if there was anybody the Mets should give up in a trade, mm-hmm. it's Mark Vientos.
Okay.
So now you're putting it on the fan base. I don't know any Mets fan who was ready to just trade him off.
I do.
The only person I heard say anything about trading him was you.
No,
3 weeks ago.
That's not true.
You said.
Ant, that's not true,
yes,
buddy.
It but, is.
Okay, have fun
yes,
with it, Ant, but it's not
you,
true.
Go, hey.
Say, Ant, I was the only one. Nobody else said.
What I'm saying is, no, nobody I knew. But
well, then
you need to
introduce yourself to more people. What do you have, one friend?
Okay, well, I'll just say this. You said 3 weeks ago, if there was anybody the Mets should trade, it would be Vientos. And it wasn't because you weren't killing him, but you said he was the guy. So to hear you say today, well, the Mets fans, many of them wanted him to. No,
that's
you
true.
Did.
No, that's true.
It's you. Did you say it? Yes or no?
I honestly don't recall. I might have.
Oh, okay.
I'm not trying to run
so
away from
amnesia.
It. Well, no, okay.
So you have amnesia.
Anthony, stop. I mean, Ant.
I just wondered, because you do this a lot. You have this tendency to kind of put things out there that aren't true.
Mm. So I'm not allowed.
So now
I just want you to recall it. Yeah.
Either you have amnesia, or you just don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe that's it.
Or you just like to lie. I'm just not sure,
yes,
really.
Yeah, maybe
you.
I'm a pathological liar. That could be it. You might be on something.
Maybe. It sounds. I
that
think
that
so.
Could
I mean,
be it. That could be it.
It could be.
It could
hey,
be.
Let's talk about the Jets and how. Tell us how great the Jets are going to be this year.
I have a better idea. Yep. How about you talk about the Jets with yourself? Go have a conversation with yourself. Go do some other stuff with yourself. Get lost. So I would say this about Mark Vientos, right? We all said that if you can get a really good player, you give him up. No, but you got on the – see, Anthony, Ant's the kind of guy – well, we know what he is. But to me, it's okay to change opinions when circumstances change. The Mets weren't even playing him every day, dude. Beatty was playing more regularly, all right? They were giving that a shot. And when he was playing, he wasn't playing well. Now, if you want the entire Mark Vientos story, at least for me, go back and listen to what, at least, and Sal, too, on this show, what we said about him during October and during the offseason. If you remember, Anthony, I said that Vientos should bat second, Anthony, in front of Soto and behind Lindor. That's what I said to start the year because I was so impressed with his performance. He looked phenomenal. He was ripping it. But then he looked like he was an entitled, unserious baseball player to start the year. And I changed my opinion. Correct. That is true. Now, Yankee fans, you might not want to hear it. Yeah, I got to have a little conversation about this MVP award with Judge and Cal Raleigh. We'll do that. 888-808-1019. Back to these Met calls out of the shoot and the energy and just the swag and the juice that Vientos provides, there's just a different feel when he's hitting well. And he's on a tear and makes the Mets look and feel a little different. I would say this quickly about Schlittler, who, I mean, listen. He looks like he belongs. And I told you the story when I was in the car and I was dropping one of my kids off at a practice or picking him up. It doesn't matter. I was in the car like I am every day at practice. And I heard Susan's pregame interview with the scout who followed Schlittler and also found Ben Rice. So it was really good interview. And I wound up texting Susan, and it was a great spot. And pertaining to, because the Rice story was totally different, but I'm not going to veer into that now from that scout. But about Schlittler, it was about his makeup. And his dad up in Massachusetts is, I don't know if he's still on the job. Is he retired? Probably not, because Schlittler's young, so his dad's probably still working. But he was like a chief of police or is chief of police. So you know he's coming from, you know, a household where, you know, you're gonna work hard. You're going to do the right thing. Most of the time, you're going to try to do the right thing. And you're not going to be coddled. You're going to be pushed a little bit. So I think he's got some innate toughness because of his dad, number one. And then you look at his body, and he's incredibly lanky and long. So, and they've talked about this on the broadcast. The ball's on you. Not quite like Randy Johnson, who was even taller at 6'10", 6'11". But when you have that kind of, you know, reach and wingspan, I mean, honestly, the ball's on you quicker because it's just coming out at a place closer to the batter. That's common sense. And he throws gas. We know that. 98, 99, dials it up whenever he wants to. He's got stones. That's apparent. My favorite part of his game from a repertoire perspective is his curveball. Now, I know that he stumbled upon a cutter late as well. I think during the spring. And that's one of the things that the scout was talking about with Susan. But his curveball, I don't really know who it compares to. I mean, I'm thinking of some, I'm not even saying, like, I don't want to go nuts and say it's an all-time curveball, but I'm thinking of, like, I don't really remember Burt Blylev, and I was a little bit too young when he was in his prime, but I remember him always being lauded as having one of the best curveballs of all time. You know, Doc Gooden's, when Doc came up, it was that legit 12-6 off the table, north-south. Schlittler's is sharp. It's almost got, like, a slider bite to it. So he's got nasty stuff. And, you know, where does it go? Who knows? How healthy is he? I don't know. You know, would they trade him at some point in the offseason for like a superstar? I hope not, but probably not, but you never know. But I can see this October, because the Yankees are going to get there. They're not going to win the division, but they'll get there. I can see Schlittler going out there against whomever. Toronto, the Astros, the Tigers, the Red Sox, and going six and giving up very few hits. And if he's got his plus-plus stuff, maybe give it up no runs. Like, he has that kind of stuff. So that's a great development for the Yankees. Really, really good. All right, let's get back to the phones. 888-808-1019. Marcello or Marcello? How are we saying those? That second C? What do we got?
Marcello, how you doing?
It is a soft C. What's up, Marcello? How are you, buddy?
Everything's good. I live in Miami. I'm from Queens. And that last caller just made me flip. I'm a Mets fan, too. And look, I know you're a Yankees fan, but I love your takes because you have good baseball takes. And I don't know any Mets fan who was defending Vientos after the All-Star break or throughout the whole season. He was a liability on defense. He wasn't hitting the ball. And I work at the airport over here in Miami, and all my Mets fan friends, we were all saying the same thing. Let's trade Vientos. Let's try to get some good pieces together.
Yep.
But
I mean, that was pretty much the, not everybody, to be fair, but that was the general consensus. Because the other aspect, I'll let you finish, Marcelo, but, you know, when I look at a youngish, I think he's 25. Half 25, Vianto sound right? I think he's 25. Thank you. Well, so that's still fairly young. He hasn't played a ton at this level. I look at, no, not just could you hit, but, you know, what's your upside on defense? I don't think he'll ever be a good defender, and he obviously does not run well at all. So he's, you know, a plus defender, no chance. Average defender, maybe. You know, speed, always going to be below average. So if he's not hitting, the value goes way, way down. And, yeah, I was open to trading him, but I was also coming into the year one of his staunchest supporters. So is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay to change your mind. You know, we're not going to have the same idea every week, every day, you know. So it's okay. Like, things happen.
Yeah.
But my original point was I've noticed this season, I called earlier, I thought the season was over. I was comparing it to 2007. and I mixed up Sal and Hawk, so I apologize again for that. What's it called? I really don't think that it's like 2007 anymore. What I feel like now is like we're losing to the teams we should be beating, and we're winning to the teams, we're winning against better teams, like the Phillies and the Dodgers. We put on better performances against those teams.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we have 30 games left, I'm thinking if we get a good run together and we know as a team that we can beat these playoff matchups, you know, if we take this energy into the postseason, anything can happen. I'm still more pessimistic than optimistic, but yesterday was a great sign for me.
It was. It was a good win. Marcelo, good call. Appreciate you checking in from Miami on the Free Odyssey app. Good stuff. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal. No Sal. Today's back tomorrow. Now, this is, it's an early read, but, I mean, that's what I have to do based on the circumstances provided. If you get, let's say, whether it's the Philly, whomever it is, right, a playoff series, Dodgers, Pirates, Phillies, whatever, Brewers, like, you look at a Peterson. If this keeps up, I don't know how you don't give McClain a start. And, you know, even Holmes, who's not going to give you length, but generally gives you, you know, competitive starts. I mean, that's a really good start in three, which is why the Manaea Senga situation is, I don't want to say it's less dire with the unveiling of McClain, but just imagine if there was no McClain. Like, if there was no McClain, if he was either just not here or not called up or not as good, I don't know how you get to a place mentally where you're like, oh yeah, I could see this Mets pitching staff being good enough to beat a good team in a short series. That to me is it's an irresponsible leap of faith. That's just being a fan, and that's fine. But to me, it wouldn't be rooted in enough reality to really latch onto that, for me. But now, I mean, McClain, the kid's presence and the kid's stuff is tremendous. It's tremendous. And I've always loved Peterson. And what I just said about Holmes applies here. So even if you don't get Manaea finding, his stuff or Senga getting better, you still got a puncher's chance, provided the offense carries the mail and Vientos doing what he's been doing lately is a massive thing. Let me get Anthony in Freehold, BT and Sal on the Fan. What's going on, Ant?
BT, what's up, brother?
Oh, good. How you doing, dude?
Good, good, good. I mean, last night was such a great win. I'm a diehard Mets fan. But what I really like is, obviously, Vientos is finally proving to the people that seemed so crazy this whole season, like me, who said, how can you give up so quickly on this guy who hit 27 home runs last year and put the team on his back during a playoff run? That was the first guy people wanted traded over Acuna, over Mauricio, over Beatty. It was, no, let's pick the one guy that had the stones to go into the postseason and trade that guy. Why the hell would it be him? He was the only guy that showed, hey, I could play in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, that's the chip that you keep that guy.
Yep.
So I'm so hyped that you got the chance to keep the Vientos. Stearns, you got to give him props there. He could have traded him for a bag of peanuts.
Yep.
You kept the Vientos. It's working out.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, the Mets have always had a DH problem. You're right. The Vientos can't really field. He can't run. He's a DH.
Yep.
That's our DH. I love it. I'm happy. And great show, BT.
Appreciate it. And thanks for the call there. Yeah, I mean, just to go back to what you said about, you know, the Acunas and Mauricio, Beatty lesser extent. I don't want to speak for others, but I would imagine the reason, well, first of all, Vientos wasn't playing well at all, and he doesn't run, he doesn't feel. We know that, right? So there's already a very identifiable limitation to his overall game. He's just a hitter, and he wasn't hitting, and he didn't seem to be hustling either, which was even more problematic, and that's why I was confused by his start. But like the Mauricio love and the Acuna love, Beatty a little lesser because he doesn't have he's not fast like Acuna. Those guys seem to be a little bit more toolsy. And I know that, you know, that's what a tool. Yanks have a ton of guys with tools, and it doesn't always work out. Most times it doesn't recently. So I don't get overly enamored with tools, but if you got three or four young players, the sensible thing to do generally would be to gravitate to the ones with more tools because there's a greater chance they will be able to influence the bottom line. When you got one tool and it's hitting and you don't hit, you've got no value. When you've got three or four tools, you can play second, center, third, whatever it might be, in Acuna spot or Beatty or Mauricio, big-time arm coming back from injury, lefty stay. Like, I think that's why people are like, okay, maybe Vientos just was a flash in the pan last October. What he's proving now is He's not. And when he hits, the Mets feel different.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.